Hi, my name is Graham. You may remember me from other such podcasts, like the other 240K ones that we did. You may also know me online as Paladin777. Possible.
Right. And I'm Jason, the creator of the Online Army Showcase. And right now, I've got the Apocalypse Rulebook in front of me, and Graham here has the new Chaos Codex. So let's take a look at all the new things that came out from Warhammer 40,000 the past 2 months on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome to episode 23 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Online Army Showcase at army.rocklesoftware.com. And finally, as promised, we got Graham here and got some more 40K stuff coming out. As I mentioned, the Apocalypse stuff. That came out, by the time this is released, probably close to about a month ago almost, but I had a chance to play one really huge game. We're going to talk about that later in the show, about what kind of worked, what didn't work, and why you should follow the rules for the large-scale battles that are in this book. And of course, you got your new Chaos Codex there.
Indeed. A lot of cool stuff that they came out with. A few things not so cool, but a lot of cool stuff.
We're going to dive into that in just a few minutes. But first, I want to go over just a quick first look at the Apocalypse. You haven't got a chance to play some of the games or check out what you got here. So obviously the big thing is new huge rule book. It's, how many pages is this monster?
I don't even know.
It's close to about 200 pages, so it's what it's got in here. It's got first section is some obviously the rules, how to kind of set up the larger scale battles. So there's not a lot of rule changes how the game plays. Setup. There's setup and how you score and how scoring and objectives work. So, because I originally thought, at least I had heard some people say what it was going to be was like kind of like almost a rewrite of the rules to make larger games play faster.
Yes.
But that's not what it is.
Right.
It's just how to better run large scale games, how to manage them.
Exactly, such as 3,000 points or above.
Or in this case here, they have a 20,000 on 20,000 points.
Yes, I saw
battle.
That. Yes. It's Chaos versus Imgard, is it not?
Yes, Chaos versus Imperial Guard. And I think Imgard won the battle. So, but on top of the rules, there's a lot of beautiful pictures inside this thing. If you haven't had a chance to go down to your local GW store and look at it, they're just beautiful things.
I would agree.
Huge battles. Where's that?
There's one table that they've got is some 8 feet by what? 30 feet?
Imgard
something like
Chaos
that?
One.
Yeah. It's like some 8 feet by 30 feet.
That's
something
probably
like that.
This one. This is the largest battle in the book.
Yeah,
that, 40,
that's the one.
Points.
That's the one. Yeah. Wait, 40,000 points?
Yes, it's 40,000 points.
I didn't realize that.
Excellent.
Gotcha. Well, that's 20,000. Oh.
20,000 per side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 4,000 total. 136 Chaos Space Marines.
Yeah.
23 Possessed Chaos Marines.
Let's just say
18 Havocs, 7 Dreadnoughts.
Let's just say, I'm taking at a glance, they have about 25, 30 HQs.
Oh, wow. Holy cow, those are all HQs. Wow, that's just sick and disgusting.
You didn't quite realize that, did you?
I didn't look through all the list yet. I just looked at the picture now. That is freaking sweet. And those titles are beautiful,
yeah,
too.
The list tells me more than the picture.
Yes.
I'm just like that.
So, of course, other than that, other things you're going to see in here is there's some little bit of details how to build some terrain and show you some pictures of some big terrain, give you an idea of what kind of stuff you'd want to use in Apocalypse battles. Just a lot of more little ideas to make them, as I say here, theme games, give them ideas of objectives.
Make them a little more memorable.
Yes, a little more memorable.
A little bit more memorable and just, in general, more fun.
Mm-hmm. If done right, I'll explain about that later.
Right.
It's very key if done right, because there's only a few new rules, but you really should follow them. I'll explain that when we get to our detailed battle. There are a few new unit types they're probably in other rule books prior to this.
Namely, just the Forge World Imperial Armor.
Yes.
That's about it.
So the super heavy vehicles and the flying vehicles are all talked about in here. So you can do bombing runs, strafing runs.
And then you got
the Titans.
You got your famous Titans. For Imperial Guard players, you got your Bane Blade. If I'm not mistaken, I think Chaos got a Bane Blade.
Yeah, you've got
somewhere. Some
Bane Blade variant.
That would be Nurgle. They've got something similar.
I'll dig up here and you're going through your Chaos stuff. So.
Yeah.
So then the very last section is a whole bunch of new unit formations. Because in Apocalypse, deploying certain things together, you get special abilities.
Right.
Like Chaos gets a lot of... I think those guys, they basically do demon guys that rip out of them. Bonus
Spawn... Tide of Spawn, I think it's called. It's...
Chaos is in the back, I believe.
Not in, here we are. I wouldn't use it personally, but then again, I play Thousand Suns and it doesn't work very well. But yeah, Warp Rift would be really good because that would, well, Warp Rift would help my psychic guys because it just does that.
So, like, and like Tau, my favorite guys, is there's a command division of tanks. So you get either three Hammerheads or Sky Rays, and one of them is the command tank where they automatically get D3 plus 1 automatic unlimited range and marker light hits each turn from the command tank. So I can light up all three or four guys and just fire away at and blow away three or four units just like that. So that's and also the other cool one is the rapid insertion force. I have a stealth team out on the board and my crisis teams deep strike in around them, and if they're close enough to the stealth team, they do not have to roll for scattering. They land right on target. So, and plus, then they get the first round are all pinning attacks. So they do ambush strikes. So they can pin down a few frontline infantry guys, and then the fire warriors in the back will mop them up for another turn.
Good grief.
And then you were talking, maybe we've got time to talk about the Necron stuff. You never liked the Necron monoliths?
The monoliths are nigh impossible to destroy. Mm-hmm. They're the hardest non-super heavy vehicle in the game to destroy.
They get these little areas where they can reduce damage of weapons in the areas around them. They only link up with the triangle formation stuff, but in addition to the rule book, some other things you're going to get, at least I know the rule, some of this stuff is limited edition. Like, and the rule book I don't think is, I doubt these guys are, the new blast templates. They're absolutely huge. You've got, this is a 10-inch blast template is the main one, so you can see how that fits over
everything. It's basically and a anything whole and everything.
Be consumed in a fire. And I think some Bane Blades have this, the Titans have this. That. The Apocalypse Barrage template is like an ordnance type weapon that allows you to hit multiple circles of damage, and you can kind of flip it around sometimes with some special weapons and things. And then the last one is a Mega Flamer. It's literally about the length of your forearm. So I mean, it
plus your hand.
Yes, plus forearm plus your hand. It's just sick and disgusting, and it's
and I love it.
And you use it as a flamer. It's the same deal, like no cover saves. You know, like normal flame templates.
Yeah.
And I know some of the Titans have this, but I haven't seen anybody else who uses it yet. But I think some aircraft do it too.
Some of the I think there's one of the Chaos tanks get a weapon that fires the template out.
Okay,
as opposed to using it as a flamer.
Yeah, that's what some of the Titans have, and that's just disgusting. And then the first of I know the guys that are limited edition are these big gun dice, which like, at least for me they came in my gamer's pack. They really don't serve a whole lot of different purpose. They're literally just huge dice.
Which is just kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really all they are. They're cool. 6-6, is that a 6 too?
That's a 5.
Oh, that's pretty good. So,
well, at least it wasn't 3 6s.
Yeah, that's true. So then you got the, so it came a nice little tin. They get 6 big gun dice and a scatter dice. So, these are limited editions, so when they're gone, they're gone. If you don't have one now, you're probably not going to get one, but they're not required for gameplay. They just look cool. And, of course, the last limited edition thing, and probably the coolest one, this is if you got the, you're some crazy nut like me and bought the gamer pack for $100, is the backpack. It's actually a really nice backpack. I'm impressed. I thought it was going to be some really chintzy thing.
But it is nice.
It's actually designed, because it's designed to carry, you know, like, they're $50 gamer case in here.
Yeah.
And in fact, one thing I really like about it is actually it's a rectangle storage thing. You can put other stuff in here. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to build a case for my camera equipment and you can use my camera equipment.
Yeah.
Plus, you got these removable patches. So, right now I got the Imperial Guard ones on here, but they do.
Aquila, I think it's called.
But you do have ones for Chaos if you happen to affiliate yourself
with Chaos.
Chaos. So, but this is probably, I don't know, there weren't many of those available because they're only sold to Games Workshop stores. I think it's only limited 25 per store, so. You get them on eBay if you want one. They seem pretty nice. A lot of people I've seen have them and are using them, so. All right. Well, that's a good quick
introduction. You got $100 to spend.
Yes, if you got $100 to spend. So, that's a good quick introduction to Apocalypse. We're going to come back because I got a whole bunch of pictures from the event I played at. And give a little narration of what happened, what went wrong, why our army is totally overwhelmed, and things like that. So let's dive into the new Chaos Codex. Yeah, first I'm going to give you two quick, important questions, then we're going to have him dive into the So Sweet or Haterade segments. So,
yes.
First question, what new units you got in there?
There really isn't a whole lot of new units. They put Spawn, like Chaos Spawn, if anybody remembers those or knows of those, they used to be able to come with They used to come as war gear. Or if you wanted to use a sorcerer, you could use the Gift of Chaos ability and turn your opponent's models into spawn, which was really rather nice. But they're really, you know, in my opinion, I don't think they're all that great. They don't have an armor save, and they kind of are very random, and you can't control them at all. They just kind of shamble across the field. So I personally won't end up using them, but I've heard that some people say wonderful things about them. Or I've heard of people saying wonderful things about them, more accurately. And that's really the only... Oh, and they separated the HQ section, how it used to be Chaos, Lord, Sorcerer, or Demon Prince used to be just one section. They now separated it into a Chaos Lord, I have three of them right here, a Chaos Sorcerer, and then a Chaos Demon Prince. There's three separate entries, each with their own special strengths and, well, I hate to say it, but weaknesses, but not quite. The Demon Prince, he's big, beefy, likes to kill things. The Chaos Lord, not so big, but seems to have a lot of attacks. With the demon weapons, you get a ton of attacks. And then the sorcerers, they're sorcerers. They got lots of cool abilities, simply put. That's really all for new units, unless you're counting the fact the cult marines all have their own unit section, as opposed to having the different, just simply the different marks. So, as if you remember, I played Thousand Suns, and we got lots of cool stuff now.
Mm-hmm. How about any units that were removed that just aren't coming back this time around?
Any units that were removed? They got rid of the deity-specific demons, like the greater demon and the lesser demon. They just have one generic greater demon and one generic lesser demon. But that should be rectified with the upcoming demon codex, if I'm not mistaken. And that should be pretty sweet. I'll be happy, hopefully.
You know when that's coming out?
I honestly don't know. Okay. I don't have a release date. Several months.
All right, well, let's get you talking about the details of what you like. Here's your hater rate. It's so sweet, guys.
Okay.
So, pick your topic. Well, I guess how we do the reviews here on the Tabletop Battlefield is we pick a topic. In this case, it's just going to be Graham talking, because I don't know. I haven't read the new Chaos movie
and
stuff.
I've almost memorized it.
So, he picks a topic. He's going to say, play a card. So sweet is if he likes it. Hater rates if he doesn't like it.
And for those, if you can't see, this is so sweet, this is hater rate.
And in the video, obviously, as you're watching, you'll see that I'll put the thing in the picture over, you know, so you'll see what you're playing. And since only one person talks, I'm going to give him 1 minute to explain why he likes something and why he doesn't like something. So, let's get started.
Okay, we're going to start with Terminators. They're so sweet because they have, they're only 30, they're, I can't say that, I'm not supposed to, but they're a lot cheaper than they used to be. And what I don't like about them, Haterade, is that I no longer get my Thousand Suns Marines, but since I was Thousand Suns, I was the only one who had special Marines anyway. However, I can give them an icon of Tzeentch, which increases their invulnerable save, which is really sweet, because almost every model in my army has a 4+ invulnerable now. Yes, I did not stutter. Every model in my army has a 4+ invulnerable.
Is that just for Thousand Suns?
That's just
all
Thousand Suns.
Okay.
Thousand Suns get that specific. I like what they did with the Marines and then Rhinos. Rhinos, they severely reduced their points cost, which was really nice. The Thousand Suns, they made them absolute Marine killers at range. They've got what's known as Inferno Bolts. Yes, these are so sweet, and they are double so sweet. If I had two cards, I'd hold them up. So, yeah, they have Inferno Bolts, which are basically bolters, except you with AP3. So you're mowing down Marines, Necrons, anything and everything. Like, nothing beats Thousand Suns in a bolter fight anymore. I mean, very few things could compare to them to before. Nothing stands against them now. And the Aspiring Sorcerer, many of you remember Aspiring Champions. Thousand Suns have Aspiring Sorcerers. They are fairly powerful. They get one psychic power, but they can use two a turn. And they come standard with force weapons, which is really nice. So you can always fire off your power, and then you get to use the force weapon in close combat. Any character that goes into combat with a Thousand Suns unit, not exactly a smart idea.
All right, next topic. One minute.
Next topic.
Yep.
We have The heavy supports. I'm going to start with the Predators.
Pick one and go with them.
Predators.
Predator. Like them or don't like them?
I like them.
Okay.
But it's just, they're basically the same. There's really not much change. Obliterators. They made a few changes to that. You can no longer change, you can no longer use any solid slug ammunition, such as autocannons, missile launchers. But now we get such cool stuff as the plasma cannon, the multi-melta, and we still have the all-around favorite last cannon. And they decrease their strength and toughness, but that's okay, because they're supposed to be shooting at the stuff, not in close combat. Next thing is the Dreadnought. I'm not a huge fan of what they did to the Dreadnought. They messed with a few things. They messed with the Blood Rage system.
So I'm curious. On par with the Dreadnought, so they're the same basic stats as the Space Marine ones? Same armor values?
Yes, they're the same stats as a Marine Dreadnought.
Just different abilities, different weapons?
Mostly the same weapons, too.
Okay, just different.
Just they have the Fire Frenzy rule. I don't like Fire Frenzy. Anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, the Lord, Sorcerer, and Demon Prince. Lord, Sorcerer, Demon
Prince. Sorry, back to the Dreadnoughts for 1 second.
Okay.
The Fire Frenzy, that was in the original Codex too, right?
Right.
But it's not as good in this one.
No, because in the original Codex, you would fire at the nearest enemy unit. And if there was no enemy unit in range, then you would fire at your own units. Not cool, but happens sometimes, but it wasn't that bad. Now, it's the nearest unit, friendly or enemy.
So is that an automatic ability that automatically happens?
No, it's you at the beginning of your turn, you roll a d6.
Okay.
And if you get a 6, you get that.
Okay, well, Dreadnoughts, that's a minute for Dreadnoughts. So.
All right.
Next step.
So, Lords, Sorcerers, and Demon Princes, I pretty much already went through them.
They're all HQ units, the various sites?
Yeah, they're various HQ units. They're pretty cool. They're big and stompy.
Big and stompy. Like,
or at least the Demon Princes. The other two are big and hack and slashy. You know. Lords more than Sorcerers, but the Sorcerer's still cool. Because he can fire stuff off that just, he's cool. He can fire off 2 psychic powers a turn because he's Tzeentian.
So do all the Sorcerers get the 2 psychic powers per turn then?
Only Tzeentch ones.
Only Tzeentch ones, okay.
Which is really nice, which is sweet. Oh, so sweet.
All right, let's see. So you've gone through all your units, pretty much. How about weapons and upgrades? Just talk about any of those you like or not like.
The weapons and options largely stay the same.
Okay.
I mean, there's really not much to tell.
Same stats, same basic powers and abilities?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, they kept the same weapons.
So any like special equipment and magical powers and things? How about the psychic powers? Are those all about the same?
They're largely the same, different points costs. However, there's one called Warp Time that they just came out with, which is so sweet. Triple.
Triple so sweet, I don't know if we can allow that, but we'll
you
put
know
some
what?
Marks here saying you tripled it.
Okay. But it allows the sorcerer to reroll all failed to hit and failed to wound rolls. And I think that...
Oh, failed to hit and failed the wound?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick and disgusting. I thought it was,
that includes ranged attacks.
It was already bad enough, and I thought it was just failed to hit, but oh, wow.
That includes ranged attacks. If let's say a sorcerer does a warp time and a doom bolt. Doom bolt is a psychic power that counts for firing stuff. You get to re-roll the fail to hit and fail to wound on the doom bolt, and if you charge.
Okay, but that's only for the sorcerer. It's not for
that's only
not
for
any bodyguard.
Not for any bodyguard. That's just a sorcerer.
Can sorcerers even take bodyguards?
They can, but I normally run them on their own because I like my HQs to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave this one a Disc of Tzeentch, which increases his movement. So.
Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
That's about it for me. I mean, other Chaos players might have other stuff because they have regular Chaos Marines or other Cult Marines. One thing I do have to say that I really like and is tempting me on the new Chaos Marines is that they all come standard with a bolter, bolt pistol, and close combat weapon. So if you want, you can sit back and fire your bolters 24 inches, and yet when the enemy comes close enough, you can leap forwards however far, fire off your bolt pistol, and then charge for 3 attacks on the charge.
That's pretty sweet.
Yes.
So then what about, just in general, about the non-1,000 sun units? Have you had at least look over them? Are they about the same power levels?
They're very similar power levels. The Hornet, they got rid of the whole blood frenzy bit, but now they always have Furious Charge, +1 strength, and initiative on the charge, and their weapon skill 5. They're all in all, from what I hear, a bit easier to use because you don't, well, you can't lead them around by the nose anymore. Nurgle got some serious bonuses because they automatically have feel no pain, for those of you who know that what that is.
All our guys have feel no pain?
All of them.
Oh, wow.
All of the plague marines have feel no pain.
That's pretty sweet.
They have feel no pain. I have a 4+ invulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the 4+ invulnerable is a little bit better because feel no pain is no means a death save.
Right. But feel no pain is taken after an armor save.
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah.
So I'd rather have feel no pain than a 4+ invulnerable, in all honesty.
But the feeling of pain won't save you from instant death attack.
You're right.
But invulnerable may be able to save you.
True, but...
But you're saying...
But how many more attacks are going to have on you that you would fail your armor save than you...
That's true.
Yeah. And then Slaanesh didn't exactly get shafted, but they kind of got... I think they got a little bit overlooked a little bit. I mean, they have... They didn't really get a whole lot. They get +1 initiative as per... They kind of used to have it, except instead of saying they had +1 initiative, everybody else had -1 initiative, which was the same thing.
That's what a WizKids does with their games. No.
But the same thing.
I ran about MechWarrior and stuff another day.
Yeah. Anyway, so... And they also have their sonic weaponry that they used to have, which was pretty nice. That's mostly what I've got to say about the new unit, or the different cult marines.
Okay. Alright, well, let's go ahead and so if I followed you as you're talking there, under totals, I've got, so sweet, about 6, with 1 as a 3 stars after it, so maybe about 6.5, and Hater already got 3, that's how I counted, so.
Yeah.
We'll see how that turns out, I'll recount that when I'm doing the editing, but, so the last question you need to know is, how does it affect your tactics? What do you think you're going to be doing differently for your guys that you
haven't done before? My tactics are largely going to be similar, except I'm probably going to try and run them a little closer to, that's actually pretty similar to what I used to do, but try and just get close enough to rock on my opponents with the sweet bolters that they got. And I don't really have to worry as much about ordnance either, or heavy weapons, due to the 4+ invulnerable. So my guys in general are more fragile, yet tougher at the same time. They can take different kinds of punishment, let's say that, than they used to be able to take. Mm-hmm. And now, since I can run Obliterators, yeah, I used to run Pure Thousand Suns. Well, I still kind of do, I guess. But now I'm allowed to take Obliterators because there really is no Pure Thousand Suns list.
So before we said there was bonuses for running Pure Thousand Suns.
Right.
But that's gone now.
Right.
Okay. Makes sense, though, I guess.
And I think I'm going to be running Demon Princes more often because they've just become... It's another big target for my opponent. I'm going to be running as many big targets as I can, meaning the Demon Prince. Rhinos are pretty big. They're kind of... They're rhinos, with only transports, but people fear what's in them. Mm-hmm. And then more, like a couple of tanks. I used to do that anyway, but largely just run a lot of big targets and make my opponents split their fire. And the Demon Prince, another thing about him is he's, with the advent of Thousand Suns being that powerful, he'll be a little bit overlooked and be able to get to the front lines more, and he automatically is considered a sorcerer. Should I choose to simply take psychic powers, I don't have to pay for him to become a sorcerer like they used to. Well, being things they used to be anyway. But and then I'll be running a sorcerer really often too, because they are just that sweet.
Alright, that sounds good. So that's I guess a pretty good wrap of the new Chaos Codex for you. Hopefully things do not work out for Chaos and they are eventually burned and defeated. But
shut up.
But seriously, that sounds like you got some nice stuff and you're going to be pretty happy running with the new unit. So let's dive into, now we're going to go back to Apocalypse here and the mega battle I was talking about. And I kept mentioning some things about how you need to, there's things you should follow, otherwise things get really messy. So I got a bunch of pictures here. I'm going to show them, obviously, on the screen as you're watching along here. But, see, you see my screen here? All right?
My computer? I can see your screen, yes.
Okay. So let's go ahead and let me bust open all the pictures and we'll start looking through them here. So first up, obviously, you know, I play the Tau. So you can basically, this battle, bring as many points as you wanted to. I brought 3,000 points of Tau because I got my old guys plus a new Hunter Cadre box I bought.
Gotcha.
And originally, my main, a lot of my heavy force, open up, was 6 Tau broadsides. So, I mean, that's not, that may seem like a lot. In fact, like, the GW guys, like, saying I had 6 broadsides, in addition to 2 hammerheads, with 8 railguns in my army. We're like, well, that's kind of sick and disgusting what I was doing there and how much massive
except
firepower.
The thing is, you were probably facing a swarm army, weren't you?
No, even worse. Even worse than that.
What? Is that possible?
Yes. I'll show you. I got pictures coming up here. But where originally 6 broadsides were considered sick and disgusting, yeah, but it won't be too much longer. There's going to be a lot nastier stuff you're going to see dropping out.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
You see the little thumbnails there, can't you?
I can't
that
very well.
Okay. Well, anyway, so...
My eyes are shot.
I think there's about... It's a massive team battle. So we started off, I think, maybe 5 players in each team, about.
Wow.
It's basically unlimited point fest. So there's probably 30,000, 40,000 points on the field at once. So we didn't deploy everybody at the start, you know, because in Apocalypse, you get a strategic reserve where guys move on, you know, later turns if you want them to. So here was our initial deployment zone we got here out in front of us. And this is the biggest problem, the biggest mistake we did with the deployment zones. Because in Apocalypse, essentially deployment zone, you split the battlefield in two, and you have little areas where guys can't go and can't start.
Yeah.
We followed.
Just a 6-inch gap.
Yes,
that's it.
Up 12 inches.
Huh?
6 inches either side of the line.
Oh,
so
it's
12 inches, yes.
Close. All right.
But we went ahead with more traditional deployment zones, the guys who run the store. So the battlefield was basically 12 feet long by 4 feet wide, and there's little L sections stuck off from our side, too. So what happened was, instead of about 12 inches between our lines, there were 6 feet. And the end result...
Make you happy, but...
No, really not.
No, not even?
It didn't make anybody happy. At least not our side. Because we had a lot of guys that are 48-inch range weapons.
Okay.
We had a whole line of whirlwinds back here, 48 inches. Our real guns were 6 feet range, obviously.
Like I said, that would make you personally pretty happy.
But the problem is, the battle took so long... Being certain 6 feet away from each other, most of the guys never got in range.
Oh, yeah.
So, we had a few 6-foot range guys firing back and forth. And the game, we had about 6 turns each. The problem is, then the deployment zone became so clustered. It was just a mess to move guys around. You ran out of room, and anybody that had range less than 48 inches never fired. So, almost 3/4 of our army never got to fire, and that's part of the reason why we got slaughtered, because there's so far a gap between. The thing is, when you plan for a certain deployment zone, you don't get it. Your strategy falls apart because you just can't shoot the other guys. And they had a much superior firepower, which we'll get to in a minute. That is another reason that things went south. So, that's one thing. The deployment zone rules have changed in Apocalypse. Use them. They're going to make a lot better battle. But then here's their initial starting line. We got their... Basically a bunch of tanks. They're mostly Imperial Guard guys, and they have a few
that
Space
explains
Marines.
Explains it.
Yeah. So they had a whole bunch of... battle cannons and whatnot in the front line there.
Oh, an Earthshaker cannon or two.
And there's a Bane Blade. They had a Bane Blade in the back.
Oh, that put some hurt on.
That's where this 10-inch template comes out and was just ripping our guys to shreds.
That put some serious hurt on you guys.
We had the Hellhammer version of the Bane Blade, which is it's more powerful but shorter range. So we could have done a lot of damage, but it was the 48-inch maximum range.
Gotcha.
So also then, the first thing that happened though was one of the guys, the Terminators, had deep striked in, and they pulled the Vortex Grenade. This little thing in front here, which is another limited edition guy, which if you don't have by now, you're not going to get it, unless you get an eBay. But basically, it's a 3-inch blast template, and anything that's sitting on top of it is instantly destroyed. No armor saves, no nothing, you're gone.
What?
Except the only thing that'll survive is your super heavy vehicles. So it's basically a grenade. I drop
what
it down.
What is that, a vortex grenade, you said?
Yes, vortex grenade is what it's called.
What is it from? Like, what is it?
It's a strategic asset. Because
okay.
In Apocalypse, you get these strategic assets to boost you guys.
Gotcha.
And this is a thing that you can drop out on people, and it basically jumps around the board for a little while. Anything it touches, it's just gone. So that's what's happening here. We're basically blowing up the vehicles left and right, and their front line kind of collapsed a bit. But unfortunately, the poor Terminators who threw it, it scattered right... When you throw it, it scatters back. It scatters somewhere, you know? It's like a normal scatter.
It scattered right into them.
Scattered right into them, sucked them all into it. But then it wreaked a bit of havoc and destroyed some stuff, and then...
It's like an extra heavy, or super powerful D cannon from Eldar.
Yeah, probably something. Yeah, some of those lines. Yeah. And the best, the fun part, my one heroic moment here is this little Terminator you guys stand here in the corner. That guy's about to be lit up by three marker lights, and three secret missiles come into it and take it down, but that was my one big hurrah from the entire game. So there's also a secondary objective that was going on off the side of the battle, where nothing, lots of little guys were coming, facing, fighting each other back and forth, because one player in each of our teams had the flank march objective, or flank march strategic asset, which lets you enter the battle from any side of the board you want.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, it's really sweet. So that's a whole, another Bane Blade down there, a bunch of rhinos, a whole bunch of stuff going nuts.
Of Land Raiders.
Land Raiders, that's what I mean, yeah, sorry. There's rhinos are up there, like a little bit.
Okay.
Then there's Space Wolves over on our team, they're all fighting over the second objective. Yeah. That's a beautifully painted figure there, whoever did that one. But yeah, so that was a bunch of, a couple of different Space Marine guys were all racing around down there fighting each other. So let's go ahead and jump ahead a little bit. We had reinforcements come in. You know, obviously, second, third turns, you get reinforcements come in. And that's where it kept getting messy. There was our Bane Blade. Right there. It was ready to start reeling on people. But things went south in a really big hurry.
I see.
And some other reinforcements. We actually had an Eldar on our side, too. It's mostly Space Marines, and I and my Tau, and we had a division of Eldar here. These poor Storm Guardians. Right there. There's like 16 of them. They're about to get mercilessly cut down in a second. And this is the reason why the large battlefield didn't work. Because, like I said, a lot of the Storm Guardians, all my Fire Warriors, all the Space Marines, all the heavy weapon squads, none of them got in range. Yeah. My broadsides didn't even get in range. They fired at some, because they were in the very back, they fired at some aircraft that were flying around. But they didn't even get to fire at any main tanks.
Wow.
So.
Those things could have been coming handy.
The main objective we were fighting over, yeah, they would. they taught some aircraft, why not, to come near a broadside, though. But the main objective was this giant laser battery that's in the middle. And basically, a lot of our guys deep-striked in. That's where my special, my reconnaissance guys, rapid insertion force dropped in all around there, right around there, perfectly on target, and they held it for a little while. But that line of tanks with the Bane Blade, and then the most sick and disgusting things just eventually overwhelm them. Here's where things go south for us.
Wait, they weren't already going south?
No, it's all right there, because we're both...
Oh, okay.
Granted, a lot of guys are out of range, but we weren't over the firepower yet.
I see why.
Here's where it starts going downhill. This is the Titan, the Warhound. This is the Warhound model. It's a lighter of the Titans. Still absolutely
so what?
Vicious and disgusting.
Lighter Titan doesn't mean much.
And I mean, we had enough weapons. We probably could have taken down one Titan. So, I mean, yeah, one Titan, whoop-de-doo. He's actually the guy that murdered all the Storm Guardians. He has like some 15 dice attack.
Yes, I've heard of
that. Something like that.
Heavy 15.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So, yeah, and the Storm Guardians if they had any armor save at all, it went right through them.
They only have a 5+ in
okay,
armor.
Okay, so they're done. So one Titan may have been enough. Unfortunately, the opponent team had 5 Titans. They had 5 Titans. We had no Titans. So they had 4 Warhounds. This guy over here is supposed to represent the super gigantic thing, which is not even a figure 4 yet. It's about 3 feet tall.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
And it was just sick and disgusting. They kept walking, firing everything they could at us.
Because they don't even have to fire all their weapons at one squad. They can separate their fire, because there's a firing squad for every weapon system they got. They fire at whatever the heck they want.
Yeah. So that at this point, it really just became a turkey shoot with them walking along and firing everybody. We did manage to cripple one of them, this guy in front here, because we were playing a multi-store battle where we're launching shells back and forth from store to store. Like they had a little grid, like basically playing like Battleship. We had grids, you call down fire on these grids and hopefully hit the enemy. The first time our team fired, we hit our own team. It landed on an orc Stompa and did destroy it, but it crippled it. They're giant guys.
It's a Gargan sort of thing.
It might be, yeah. I'll show the picture.
Right. But. Okay.
So, yeah, so basically we blew up a bunch of our own guys, and then they fired back at us and blew... And since like, we're the same team,
guys.
They blew up our guys with a message, "Wah, orcs, don't mess with the orcs," or something like that. But, yeah, but anyway, one of our orbital bombardments landed on a Titan, and it seriously crippled it.
Well, that's
Plus,
nice.
It still survived the battle, but it was seriously crippled. Though, eventually we got... eventually we got one of these guys in here who did some more damage to it. I forget what he's called, like Star...
What is it?
It's another super heavy vehicle. I don't know which one it is. But it's Imperial Guard's super heavy tank that has just a massive gun that damaged the Titan some more. But
it looks like it's got a Titan killer special rule probably.
So the thing is, the super heavy vehicles have a situation when they're destroyed, they may go in an apocalyptic explosion.
Yes, I've seen that.
It basically rolls some dice depending on which guys it is, and basically it levels everything around it.
Right.
Unfortunately, that Hellhammer we had in front, that's what happened to it. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have none of the Hellhammer. The Baneblade back went up, and that super huge tank I just showed you, that went up in an apocalyptic explosion too. And they're all in the deployment zone, this tightly packed deployment zone. Just look at we just like left all the figures laying there for take picture purposes, but
yeah.
About three squads of Marines were wiped out. We had about half of another heavy squad Marine wiped out. Several vehicles were damaged. I lost a few Fire Warriors in one of these. About four or five Terminators were blown up. I mean, it was just,
It's what, a 2d6 explosion?
I think it's 3d6. Yeah, I think it's 3d6.
Okay.
It varies from vehicle to vehicle. I know like Titans are like I think Titans are 66 or something.
Wow.
They can theoretically level 6 feet of the battlefield and just make everything disappear there.
So six, I mean, die six? That's like 3 feet at most.
Well, 3 feet radius.
Oh, yeah, that's so, 6 feet. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, I mean, that's very rare, but in theory it can happen.
Yeah, there's a Cahornet super heavy vehicle. It's a brass scorpion. It's a close combat monster. It has 12-inch... movement and 12-inch charge range.
Ooh,
and
wow.
It's also the most fragile of the super heavy vehicles, almost on purpose, so you get them into your opponent's lines and then they blow up.
So at this point, anyway, the battle's been really went south for us after all our super heavy tanks blew up and the Titan just kind of walked across, just basically lining up, shooting whoever they want. They line up, firing, blowing everything up, and it just...
It's just a barrage.
Yeah. So, and then the final little thing here, they had some aircraft flying around. This is one of the guys my broadsides hit. I didn't shoot down any aircraft, but I ripped a bunch of them up. So, I mean, like, if your aircraft are just sick, because they can move anywhere around the battlefield they want, as long as, like, at least 36 inches away or something like that, they can face any way they want, and they just shoot down, and ugh.
And you automatically have a 6 to hit.
Yes. Fortunately, Twin League weapons make that a little bit easier.
I'm sure they do.
That's the one thing that's really good broadsides, but, so... That was basically the pictures from the battle. So, as I mentioned, the one thing was the deployment zones, how that really just kind of ruined a lot of stuff. But the other issue was the sheer number of players we had. We had, by the end, we had a few players join in like during the battle, but their team had about 5 players on because they had all the Titans. We had about 7. So the problem is we had time turns. They're 20-minute turns, you know, to keep the game relatively moving fast.
Okay.
But there's so much stuff going on, it was completely impossible to tell what was going on. And it was literally absolute chaos in the fact that, like I said, no one knows what's going on. So you basically handed your dead units. You have no idea, like...
How that happened.
Yeah, how that happened. It's like a lot of my guys, all my vehicles had, you know, special equipment to negate certain types of hits against them. My stealth teams have a stealth field generator, which makes them impossible to shoot from a certain range away. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, guys just you didn't know the people's stats, and you were trying to... And it just, you can't, you, that's...
It just doesn't work very well.
Because it's one thing I'd never liked about Warhammer 40K is there's so many rules and so many different locations. It's basically impossible to know, you know, attributes of what everyone has.
Yeah.
And even then, you have not necessarily no idea what weapons these guys have. Because they're like, you know, even my vehicles, there's not little bits for every single type of upgrade I can give them.
Right.
So I can give them tons of upgrades. You're not going to know. There's no way you're going to know unless you ask me. So the problem is, if I'm off over here rolling for armor saves with one guy, and you're shooting at someone else, the person who's going to roll the armor saves with those guys have no idea if they're really doing it right, if they have like any involve saves that might be optional. Or the other thing, the other problems were, what was it? There'd be times where the guys would literally fire 3 units in the same, 3 different people would fire the same units all at once, have no idea that they're all firing the same unit at the same time.
Yeah.
The first one blow them up, and the other two guys are like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, you screwed up. You know, you targeted them, and they all, you know, basically only one of the guys needed to kill them, and the other guys are complaining because they lost their attacks. I mean, talk to your teammates, know who's shooting at what. So a lot up to a certain, maybe up to I say maybe 3 players is really the most you can have in these kind of games, unless the battlefield is really spread out where you're basically only in a little sub battles about 3 people.
Yeah,
where you've got 7 people yelling, "What's this guy doing? This guy going on?" It's just
chaos.
It just doesn't work.
And I don't mean my army.
Yes. I want to try it again. I think it'd be a lot of fun, but it's got to be a little more structured and more controlled than what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
sometime maybe, like, maybe over, I'm so busy at times, but I don't know, sometime.
I know the feeling.
Yes. Yeah, so, sometime I'll get out and play another battle, so. We got, we're running out of time here, because I know we had a 3,000 point list to run through. Do you want to run through that really quickly? Because I got two more rule things I want to ask people about.
Mostly kind of already went through it already. This is my 3,000 point list. My example was my 3,000 point list. So you got three lords, one with a demon weapon, just foot slogging with a demon weapon. Okay. One Terminator with lightning claws. Can't get much more classic than that. A guy with a jump pack, if you want to take a look at that. Also saying who's got a power weapon. A sorcerer on the...
That's my style. I'll take pictures during the show so I can put them in later.
Yeah. A sorcerer on the Disc of Tzeentch, quite literally robed in flame. One of my favorite models. And then a demon prince who's also got psychic powers. You just assume that he does because you can't really model it. Three dreadnoughts, like I said, I really don't like using them very much, but to make 3,000 points, I kind of had to. Three squads of 1,000 suns, because 1,000 suns are sweet, any more of them. Six terminators, once again, terminators are sweet as well. Two obliterators, two predators, and two of the squads of 1,000 suns have rhinos, rhino transports.
So is the 3,000 points factor in a third rhino or not?
No.
Okay. All right, well... That'd be a minimum size for Apocalypse Army you could run and have fun with that. So something I'm going to have to take on my 3,000-point tower against yours, but...
I got a few things I need to do with it before I need to do that.
It'll be a while. I still got to finish painting my guys here. I literally spent the day before this big battle. I painted up about 24 Fire Warriors, 6 Crisis Suits, 2 Vehicles, 6 Broadsides, and about 12 drones. I mean, you can tell the quality's not that great. Especially in the Crisis Suits I did at the end where the quality really drops off, but yeah, I got them done. So I'll probably go back and touch them up a little bit more and make them look a little bit nicer. But my last thing I want to finish up with is I want to toss up some rule questions for you guys. Because in that big, giant, nasty battle, we had a few things come up. And the problem is in 20-minute time terms, you can't get everything resolved properly.
Right.
And even later when we're searching through the rule books, we couldn't find the proper support, you know, at the end to what these rules were or whatnot. First one was the Titans. The guy who was controlling the Titans said the Titans can shoot over terrain. So I had some tanks sitting behind there, just kind of on the ground, sitting behind the terrain. He said because they're Titans, they can see over it.
Okay.
But I couldn't find any rules in the Apocalypse rulebook that say that. So send me jason@rocklesoftware.com some email. If you guys know one where there's a rule that supports that, whether it's in the Apocalypse rulebook or somewhere else, let me know. I'm just curious about that one.
And if it's in the Imperial Armor book, it does not count towards Apocalypse,
yes,
if I'm not
mistaken. I don't think
mistake.
So. It doesn't say anything about you using it in there, so... The other question, mostly the more Tau-specific ones. Like, for example, I'd often run a formation of, say, 3 Crisis Suits here with 2 drones. And obviously, the idea being the drones being cannon fodder to take 2 shots right off the bat. The problem is, with the gun drones, apparently they... Well, not apparently. They have a 4-plus armor save. The Crisis Suits have 3-plus.
Okay.
So, I've been doing this for a year and a half now, and no one's ever had any problems with me using these guys as cannon fodder. Until, like, that battle. The guy said, well... They have to follow the rules where, you know, the majority armor save has to take the hits
first.
That's
right. I do remember.
So, I mean, I looked through all... And no one's ever had a problem with me, but I couldn't find any support for what I was if I was playing it right in the Tau Codex or anything.
So it's in the main rule book.
I know I found that part where it says the majority armor save has to work, but I was trying to see if there's any exceptions for the Tau units.
Okay, all right.
I couldn't find any, and no one else has ever had any problems with me doing it, even other Tau players, so...
I completely forgot about that rule, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, let me know about that, if I'm playing wrong all this time, or if something, you know, there's some other exceptions I can't find. And the other thing with the Tau and the drones is then, second question then pertains, say, instead of gun drones, I got shield drones. Which by rules, they inherit the armor save of whoever they're with. So they all have the same armor save.
Okay.
Except the shield drones have a 4-plus invul save as well.
Okay.
So let's say now I'm hit with a, say, AP-1 shot or something that goes right through the Crisis Suit's armor. They still have the invul saves. Even though there's 2 invul saves, guys with invul saves, 3 guys that with no invul saves, does the Crisis Suits take the hits then, or do these guys take the hits?
I think the Crisis Suits would first.
Okay. So even then, so basically the whole point of shield drones would be, okay, so any kind of drones, they die first, and then So that, therefore, in that case, then... A Crisis Suit would die first, then you have 2 shield drones, and one of them could die, then a Crisis Suit.
Yeah, it just slowed down the progression.
Okay. Well, that makes a little more sense, I see it that way. But yeah, so if you, let me chime in on that, jason@rocklessoftware.com, what you guys think. And the last, was there one more thing? Yeah, there probably was. I'll cut this out. I wanted to mention, oh yeah. Oh, the other thing about that is that, because I know in some cases, like if you got a squad of guys with like a leader that has an invul save, he can choose to take that invul save. Is that something special to independent characters? So that's, people have done that, where I fire on their squad, then they have maybe like a champion of some kind that has an invul save. And he, the champion opts to take the invul save, with the risk that if he fails it, he's the one taking the damage, not a squad guy is going to die.
I'm not sure. I really don't have to worry about it. Okay. I'm not sure.
So let me know, I don't know if that's something special to do with the fact that it's a special character that has the invul save, or the fact that it's just invul save, period.
Yeah, because I don't use mixed armor.
Period, it'll be the case of the drones. But so yeah, so let me know what you guys think about that. That's about it I've got, so. You got anything else?
Not really.
All right, we're out of time here, so. Your name?
My name is Graham, a.k.a. Paladin777, various forums.
All right, and of course I'm Jason. So, as once more time, questions, comments, whatever you want to send to me, jason@rocklessoftware.com, and thanks for watching. Have a good night. We'll see you guys again in about 2 weeks.
Copyright 2007 Rocko Software, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
Warhammer, McCraig, Elbar, Tyranids, Tau, Faction logos, and character names are trademarks of Game Workshop.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer, was acquired from www.posevaudio.com.